Amen. I love that song. Can't say I very often sing it without thinking about Brother Ron. singing his heart out. But beautiful, beautiful song. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I pray now as we come to this time to open your word and pray that you would open our hearts and prepare us, Lord, to hear, to learn, to take in, to be reminded. Father, I pray that you would, as you already have, I pray that you would continue to fill and be here with us. Father, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would guide us into all truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to talk this morning about keeping short accounts with the Lord. Short accounts is a term that means not allowing things to build up. If you think of it from a financial perspective, it would be keeping up on the payments on your credit card to where you're not running this big, large balance that you aren't able to keep paid down. It would be, you know, maybe you could use the idea of paying off each month what you spent on that card before it accrues interest or anything like that. Of course, in spiritual terms, we know that it is Christ who has paid our debt and who pays for our sin and has paid for our sin and who applies his blood to our account again and again and who intercedes for us to the Father. But as we look in the Word of God, we see that we have a certain amount of responsibility in relation to that too. We have a certain amount of responsibility to bring to him when we have fallen short, when we have sinned, when we are walking astray, and bring those things to him so that he can clean us and wash us and make us pure and clean and reset that account back to right standing before God. In 1 John, where we'll begin, 1 John chapter 1, the last few verses, or well, I guess it's the majority of the chapter, but we'll start in verse 3, go down to verse 9. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, he says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." If you are here this morning and you are a child of God, then this is true of you also. And if you aren't experiencing and walking in this to the fullest extent, you can be. He's already paid for and opened up that way. As we looked this morning in Ephesians, it all comes by him. He's already put down that payment. He's already reserved that for us, and we have right to come into his presence boldly as children, as sons and daughters of the King, and to have this fellowship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. Truly an immense privilege that we often don't take nearly enough advantage of, right? So he says in verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." This is the purpose why I'm writing to you. All of the things that I've said and I'm good and ready to say, the purpose is, I want your joy to be full. That's the purpose. That's the goal I'm shooting towards. Everything that I'm getting ready to say is so that you can have that. That you can live and experience on a day-to-day basis joy being full. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is a continuing, that you might say a verb tense, this is continuing. It's not something that happened and is done. It's not something we are waiting for to begin. This is something going on currently, actively, ongoing. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is in the process of cleansing us from all sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. If we're walking with Him in the light. He says, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Clearly. If you don't know that yet, you're lying to yourself or you don't have much experience in the Christian life. If you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself. You're lying to yourself, and the truth is not in you. In verse 9, he says, if we confess our sin, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do you get that account reset back to where there's nothing between me and God? Confess it to Him. Anything that's come into your life, anything that's there, anything that's between you, confess your sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful. It's not that it's going to happen sometimes and sometimes it won't. You just never know. Hit and miss. Take a chance. Throw up a Hail Mary, you might say. No. If we confess our sin, He is faithful. This is His nature. He is faithful. He will do what He has done and what He's promised He will do. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to worry and fret and, well, is He actually going to forgive me this time? Maybe I messed up too bad. Maybe He can't forgive this. Maybe He can only forgive up to a certain point. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. And because He's already paid for those, He is also just in forgiving us our sins because He's already paid for those sins. He's already paid that account. So if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That gives very clearly and very beautifully a clean slate. A clean slate. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does that happen? If we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. This isn't just something that automatically happens every single morning when you get up if you're a believer. Unless you're taking care and taking time to come before Him and clear those accounts. And say, Father, Christ Jesus, I've messed up again numerous times and I need cleansing. I need forgiveness. I need to be washed again, fresh and new. And He will. He's faithful to do that when we come and we confess. But it doesn't just automatically happen just because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You and I have to come and confess our sins. Then He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not just that it automatically gets covered each time and it automatically gets paid each time. When we come and say, hey, I need your help, I need your forgiveness, I need your cleansing, it's there. There's more than enough. But we have to come and confess our sins. His desire here in the book of John, John's desire, the Apostle John here, is for them to have uninterrupted, unhindered fellowship with God Almighty, with Jesus Christ, His Son. Uninterrupted, unhindered, a wide open gateway between me and God, that nothing standing between, no cloud, no darkness, no griminess and filthiness that's getting over that lens that's keeping me from being able to look freely into the face of Christ Jesus and say, I love you, Lord, and know that He loves me as His child, and have that communion back and forth. And so many times we're like the little child who realizes that his diaper's messy. And he goes off and he hides in the corner. Because, oh, he's embarrassed to realize he doesn't smell nice. He doesn't feel clean. And he goes and hides in the corner. That's the opposite response to what he should do. Right? How do you get clean diaper? You come to dad or mom and say, I really need some help. Guess what? They're not going to go, oh, you pitiful, miserable little child. You need another diaper change already? No, they're going to go, oh, come, my dear child. I'll clean you up and give you a fresh perspective on life. But how many times do we find ourselves doing that same thing when we start to see things coming between us and God, when we realize, oh, what I just did, what I just allowed in my mind, what I just dwelt on and fed in my mind and in my thoughts, or the way I reacted to that person, that displeases God. And my reaction is to go, instead of go, here, Lord, take it, my reaction is to pull back and to go, oh man, He's going to be mad at me. He's going to be mad at me. Now there's something between us. Oh boy. It's only between you for as long as you allow it to be between you. Because as soon as you come to Him and confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Instantly, immediately. This doesn't have to build up for a month and then you go, okay, well, it's getting a little bit hard to move in this home of my heart, so I'm going to ask the Lord to do a spring cleaning. It doesn't have to get to that point. Every moment when you realize, oh Lord, that was a wrong reaction. I just allowed bitterness in my heart towards that person, or I just reacted in an angry way, or I just allowed an evil thought to dwell in my mind. Come to Him immediately. And I say, Father, I need your help. That's nasty. And it came in and I allowed it and I took part in that and I need cleaned up again. He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Even, I think that cleanse you from all unrighteousness would indicate even the things you don't necessarily know that might be between you and God. He's forgiving your sin, which is what you're coming there saying, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I've got these sins building up and piling up. But He's not just doing that, He's also cleansing you from all unrighteousness. He's taking away the stains and the little mud tracks that came tracking in on that sin. He's cleaning you back up. There's no joy in this world like the joy of knowing peace with God. An unhindered fellowship. Nothing between. I can stand wide open. Lord, it's so good. It's so clean. So fresh. No cringing. No hiding. No, I'm glad you're here to visit. Just don't look over this way. I gotta tuck a couple things in the closet. But yeah, I'm really glad you're here. Rather, it's a warm embrace. And oh, Jesus, I'm so glad that you live in my life. What do you want to see? Where do you want to go? It's all yours. You own it. It's all yours. You're welcome to look around. You're welcome to open closet doors, whatever you want to do. It's all yours. A freedom and a joy. The joy may be full, John says. This is what happens. This is the outflow of keeping that pathway between you and God clear, is that your joy may be full. Your joy can be full. We get so heavy and burdened down. We're like that little child running around and it's, you know, the diaper's sagging and swinging and it's getting in the way of our walk and it's keeping us from being able to live life. It's keeping us from being able to enjoy being around. It's keeping others from being able to enjoy being around us. It's keeping all these things. It's hindering. It's making our life miserable. It's making our life stink. That's not God's desire or plan for His children. I remember different times, especially as a child's getting a little bit older and they start to feel those sensations more and feel, oh, it's nasty, it's wet, it's soggy. I remember seeing the look of relief on their face when it's all fresh and dry and clean and they just look up and smile. That's the same feeling I think that we have when it's wide open and it's clear and it's not, well, yeah, that was wrong. Oh boy. Well, I guess I'll try to do better next time. And you go on and you stumble again and you, oh well, just not doing very good. And it starts building up and it's just, and you're not ever coming and cleaning out that account before God and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Please cleanse me and forgive me. You're just kicking it off to the side and going on. Kick it off to the side and go on. And it starts to build up. It starts to steal your joy. It starts to cloud and hinder your fellowship with your Father and with Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says to examine yourself. That means be honest with yourself. Take a look. Look around. Examine. Be honest. Say, hey, okay, what am I actually allowing the light of Christ into all the areas of my life to the best that I'm aware? Or am I just ignoring certain things because it's like, well, yeah, I know that ultimately God doesn't want me to be doing this or doesn't want me to be feeling this way, but I can't deal with that right now. So I'm going to just pretend it's not there, just keep trying to walk this way and not look at it. If I don't look at it, it's not there. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Just do a check. Look around. See whether you're following God, whether you're clean, whether there's a clear avenue between you and the Father. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove yourselves. Do a self-check. Don't allow things to just go undealt with. It steals your joy. And it makes your heart heavy. It makes your steps heavy. It just gets so burdensome. So many Christians are so tired in their Christian walk because they've allowed things to build up between them and their Father. They've allowed these accounts to get long. They've not come and cleared out. They've not come again and cleared out 5 minutes later if necessary and say, Father, I need your help, man. I need to be cleansed again. If you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he's speaking about communion. About the act of sharing the blood and the body of Christ together. As a memorial, as a remembrance of his sacrifice for us. And he says in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 27, he says, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. So if you look here, nobody likes judgment, right? But if you look here, you can clearly see that God bringing that judgment and that chastening in our lives is merciful. It's a mercy so that we don't be condemned with the world, so that it doesn't go on and continue. That heaviness, that losing of that joy and that friendship and that fellowship between us and God is a good thing, because it helps us realize and wake up and go, oh boy, there's something wrong. It turns on the warning system, you might say, that the light starts flashing and the beeper starts, wah, 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 there's a problem here. Wouldn't it be so sad to not have God's chastening, not have that warning light going off? Continue on and on until it's built up. It's got in the way. You get to the end of your life and you realize there's so much between me and the Lord. I didn't even know it. There was no trigger. There was no warning system going off. There was no chastening. There was nothing to help me realize how badly I'd strayed off the path. I had no idea. And here I have this whole big load piled up against me at the judgment seat. It's of His mercy that He brings that chastening. And the correct response here, clearly given, is examine yourself. Examine yourself. Be honest. Look in your heart. Look in your mind. Is there something there? Are there lots of somethings there? It's okay. You don't have to go hide in the corner and be embarrassed and ashamed. Come to the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us completely from all unrighteousness. Not just once, not even just 1,000 times, but as many times as it takes throughout this life. As many times as it takes. Many times as a little one, and also as a little one in the faith, it's easy to start thinking, oh man, I just came to my Father yesterday for this same problem and confessed it. I can't come confess it again. That's just admitting defeat. It's like, man, if I just come and confess the same thing again that I just came and confessed yesterday, well, that's sad. That's miserable. He doesn't want to hear that again. He's going to be displeased with me that I so quickly fell again in the same thing. No, He's going to be ready and waiting to forgive when we confess. And it's going to be far worse and sadden His heart far more if you allow those things to build up and you don't come and bring them before Him. Going back to 1 John, let's look at chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, behold, look and see, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What kind of love is this? It's unprecedented. It's a kind nobody has ever experienced. Nobody's ever been capable of giving or understanding completely. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, not just someday we will be, but now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Every man that has this hope in him. If you have hope of eternity, that hope of eternity, that hope of being a child of God, not just someday, but now, that is designed by God to stir up in you this reaction that every man that has that hope in him purifies himself. If God has adopted me as his son or his daughter, I want to live like a son or a daughter of the king. God doesn't live this way in filthiness and defeat and stumbling around and just letting things pile up in the corner. So I want to be like him. I'm going to begin to pay attention to those things. And if I know there's a trouble area, I'm going to keep an eye on it. I'm going to examine myself. I'm going to work by God's grace to begin to purify and purge out these things. Every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. So if we desire to be near him, if we desire to be like him, it should and it will inspire us to purify ourselves, even as he is pure. This isn't self-effort. This isn't turning over a new page. This, how do you purify yourself? John tells us back a couple chapters. You come to God, you confess your sin, and he purifies you. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But you can't just, oh well, you know, if God wants me clean, he'll make me clean. No, you have to come and do the part that's before you to do. To say, God, I'm wrong. As you already well know. I need your help. As you already well know. I need your mercy and your grace and your cleansing and forgiveness again. Lord, I've found myself again struggling and stumbling in this same area maybe where I've stumbled and struggled 1,000 times. But I know you have the grace and the power and the strength to live above that, because Christ Jesus did. He was tempted in every point like as I am, yet without sin. So Lord, I bring this sin debt to you again, and I ask you to cleanse it and help me walk like you. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. He says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Ready, prepared, able, that God can use you in whatever way he wants to, whatever way he sees fit. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. John In the first passage that we read in 1 John chapter 1, he talks about walking in the light. But clearly, even though we're walking in the light, that doesn't mean that we're not ever going to have anything to confess. Because he goes right on down and says, confess your sin. Let that be open and cleared out and cleaned out. That's how you walk in the light. Walking in the light doesn't mean that you're never going to take a step outside of the light, or that you're never going to find yourself struggling against sin and against your flesh. It means you're not allowing those things to continue. You're not letting them go unchecked. You're not trying to hide them. You're not trying to pretend they don't exist. You're not hoping God doesn't notice. But you're coming instantly, quickly back to your Father and say, Lord, I need your cleansing again. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would give us each the courage, the grace, the faith and trust in you to honestly examine ourselves, to look, to dig. Lord, not just today, not just once, but regularly, daily, as a way of life, that we would examine ourselves, that we would bring anything to the light that ought not to be there, and allow you to purge it and cleanse it away, knowing your love and your mercy and your tenderness, that you don't hold it against us or condemn us for our weakness. As you say in Hebrews, you've suffered and know what it's like to live in the flesh, Jesus Christ. You know our weakness because you yourself have been human. You've had and experienced the weakness of the flesh. Father, help us to keep short accounts with you, Lord, to keep that pathway between us and you free and clear and open, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to ask for strength and mercy and help in time of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.